Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
But I'm glad that you're here this morning, church. If you have your Bible, I want you to open up your Bibles, and we're going to be in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10. I want us to open up the Word of God today. And this is where today's message is going to just derive from. It's where it's going to come from. So Hebrews 10, when you're there, say amen. Amens may come in at a little bit different time. We're getting there. We're getting there. Awesome. So Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says this: "And therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus..." He says, "by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain, that is his body." He says, "And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water." He said, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching." Can we pray for this morning's word? Lord, we thank you, and we just bless your holy name, God. We pray, Lord, that your word would speak, Lord, just in a mighty way to every person, Lord. Every man and woman, Father God, every young person, God, in this room, and those who are watching online as well, God. And Father, I pray, Lord, that it would be your holy word, God, doing the speaking. Holy Spirit, you are our guest of honor. You take this pulpit this morning. Let every word of mine, God, fall to the ground, Lord. But Lord, let your words pierce our hearts and our souls, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Amen. In the book of Hebrews, church, we see that the writer here is telling us that we have this access. We have a boldness. We have the ability to be able to approach God. We have a confidence that we are supposed to approach God with. And there's a reason for that, because it used to be on the Day of Atonement in Scripture that the high priest would enter the holiest place with fear and trembling. And the high priest would go on the behalf of God's people and make atonement for their sins. But here the Scripture is telling us that you and I could enter that holiest place in God's presence with boldness and confidence. And there is a reason why you and I can enter into God's presence with confidence. It's because we enter the Holy of Holies through the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? You see, Jesus in his blood, when he shed it on the cross, has become our point of access, if you will. Amen. Jesus is the one that has given us the opportunity to even know God. How many of you know the Lord this morning? You see, it's because of Jesus. Amen. It's because of him. It's because of the sacrifice that he paid for you and I. And the blood of Jesus, church, it provides a new and living way in the way that he not only consecrated us, but he has given us the ability to come into the presence of God with boldness. I want us to never lose sight of this, but the sacrifice of Jesus, church, should always be a fresh reminder in our hearts that though it happened centuries ago, his blood is not stale. I'll say that one more time. Though it happened centuries ago, 2,000 years ago, when he gave his life for you and I, his blood has not gone stale, and his blood is still effective and powerful today. Amen. That's good news, amen. That's good news, because that means that a living Jesus still ushers us into the presence of God. How many of you are thankful for the blood? Amen. I'm thankful for the blood. I'm thankful that that blood was what Jesus used to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That very blood that was spilled to wash away our sins, church, to make us righteous before a perfect and holy God. It was once said, "It is eternally as if just now that he had borne our sins in his own body on the tree. Now it's as if he had just said it was finished, and the soldier had just pierced his side, and there had come forth water. He is evermore freshly slain. Now, those words are very interesting, and they're very deep, if you will, because there's something that we should gain from that and understand from that. Under the old covenant, back in the times of Jesus, the Jewish people had to have a fresh sacrifice. Let me just put it this way. How many of you, when you go to a restaurant, want old food? Ain't nobody want old food. How many of you have ever been to a restaurant and thought that they served you old food? Amen. I went to a restaurant, I'm not going to mention its name, but good Lord, I think I had like last Friday's food. It was Chinese. It was like a Chinese food place. And I went to this place, and you know, when you get the general chow and you get all that type of stuff, it's supposed to be crispy. It's not supposed to be like soggy. And it was like soggy, like it was like old, it was mushy. I told my wife, I was like, man, I paid way too much for old food. I wanted fresh food, right? Why do you go to a restaurant? Because you either A, didn't plan anything to cook, or you don't want to cook, right? But you show up to the restaurant so that they can do it for you, but you expect fresh food. You expect something that's going to come on the table that's going to be like pleasing to you. But listen, back in these times, the reason why it was necessary for them to have a fresh sacrifice, church, was because they had believed that there was life still in the blood. This is important. It couldn't be an old sacrifice. It couldn't be days old or weeks old or months old. It had to be fresh because they believed that there was life still in the blood. And under that old covenant, the high priest had access because of the blood of an animal. This is how they gained access into the presence of God. But listen, under the new covenant, how many of you know that we are under a new covenant now? Amen. Don't kill an animal to get into the presence of God. I hunt, so I just kill animals for deliciousness. Amen? So, man, there should have been an amen around here. I was going to say something. I'll let it go. I was going to talk about vegetarians, but I ain't going to say that. Peter had a vision. Remember the vision in the New Testament? We can eat all the meat. Amen. But under the New Covenant, listen to this. We have access because of the perfect sacrifice of a sinless Son of God. We have access because he is still alive and he is fully resurrected. And this blood that he shed 2,000 years ago still has the same power today. It hasn't changed. It has not gone old. It has not gone stale. Hebrews 10 and verse 20 says this. Going back to that verse. By a new and living way that was opened for us through the curtain. That is his body. It was through the body and the broken body of Jesus, church. The Bible tells us that the veil separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And to enter into that holiest place, you had to pass through a veil. And that veil was a separating, and it separated man from God's intimate presence. It was forever open wide, and it was torn from top to bottom when Jesus gave his life. I want us to read about that in Matthew 27, verse 51. It says this. At the moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. You see, this is after Jesus said it was finished. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They were raised to life at the very moment that Jesus had surrendered his life and his spirit to the Father. Everything that was once between God and man was bridged through the sacrifice of Jesus. Amen? And immediately, the Bible says that many believers who had lived for Jesus, they were raised to life. It's the most beautiful thing about knowing Jesus is that, church, you don't lose anything when you give your life to Jesus. You gain everything. Amen? Some people think, oh, well, if I give my life to Jesus, I got to stop doing this and I got to stop doing that. Listen, it's not about what you stop and start. It's about what he did. Amen. And once we realize that we've actually going from being dead to now living because of what Jesus has done, then we'll see this thing completely different. We'll receive it completely different. And so the tearing of the flesh of Jesus gave us access to freedom in the Lord. Amen. How many of you are free this morning? Amen. We're free because of Jesus. The tearing off of his beard gave us access to the heavenly realm of God. And the brokenness of his body gives us access to a limitless, all-powerful, ever-living, still wonder-working, miracle-working Savior in Jesus. That's good news, amen? Charles Spurgeon said this, for believers, the veil is not rolled up, but it's rent. That means it's torn. He says the veil wasn't simply unhooked or carefully folded up and put away so that it might be put in its place at some future time. He says, oh no, the divine hand of God took it and tore it from top to bottom, and it could never be hung up again. That is impossible. He goes on to say this, between those who are in Christ Jesus and the great God, there will never be another separation. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hebrews 10 and 21 says this, and because of that, we have a great high priest over the house of God. Amen. How many know that this all belongs to Jesus? Amen. This is his house. Amen. He's the Lord. He can say and do. He can tell us anything that he wants us to do. If he wants us to have worship for 10 hours, then guess what? It's his house. You don't come into my house and tell me what to do. Amen. When you're in somebody else's house, what do? You have to follow what they've established. And this is the house of God. And if Jesus says, may my name be glorified, if Jesus says, may my house be a house of prayer, then that's exactly what it should be. Amen. Jesus is the great high priest. He is the great high priest. The point of access that priests had, Jesus has become for all mankind to enter into his presence. He is over this house. He is over God's community of people. I'm thankful, church, for men and women of God. Amen. How about you? How many of you are thankful for your pastors? Amen. Yeah, praise God. How many of you are thankful for your teachers in the Lord? Amen. Those that give you instruction of the word of God. Evangelists, amen. How many of you are thankful for evangelists? Amen. Give the evangelists some love. Some of y'all aren't awake this morning. How many of you are thankful for prophets? Amen. Church leaders and staff, all these ministers and ministry leaders, we should be thankful for every single one of them. But I want to remind you, church, that while they're loved and they're absolutely valuable, none of them are required for you to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. I said none of them are required for you to have a relationship with Jesus. All you need is him. All we need is Jesus. Hebrews 3 and 6 says this, Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house. He says, and we are his house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. I want to remind you, church, that through the precious sacrifice of Jesus laying down his life, for you and I, the penalty of our sins is no longer standing over us. If you've received Jesus as your Lord and you have allowed the blood that he once shed out and poured out on that cross through his gruesome death to be something that you have received, then you can openly approach the Lord. Amen. You can serve him. You can love him. You can walk in freedom. You can preach about him. You can have relationship with him. You can have intimacy with him. You can walk in covenant with him. And it's all because of the Lord. Amen. Can somebody thank him this morning? And so the reason I told you all of that was because it's important for us to understand this, church. For the next few moments, in the light of what Jesus has done and what he has done for you and I and how you've received him, this is what these next passages of scripture are encouraging us and imploring us to do. So verse 22 of Hebrews 10, in light of what Jesus did, he says this, so let us draw near with a true heart. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. He said, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You see, church, I believe the reason that you've showed up here this morning is because you wanted to draw that much closer to him. Amen. You see, that should be the reason that every single one of us has come into this house this morning, not because of who's preaching or not because of the songs that they might sing or not because of what it does for your kids or anything else, but it should be because we desire to know him better and we desire to know him more. Amen. This is the reason that I'm here. This is the reason that I show up week in, week out, because I want to know Jesus more. And the scripture is telling us to draw near, to draw closer. I heard it said this way one time, that if we know Jesus the same way that we did yesterday, then we're backsliding. You see, if you knew him yesterday and you're like, well, I'm just relying on yesterday's oil, I'm relying on yesterday's anointing, I'm relying on yesterday's scripture reading, I'm relying on yesterday's all these leftovers or this past relationship with Jesus, then guess what, church? We're not doing as the scripture says. Here it says that we need to draw near, closer and closer to the Lord, closer and closer to the presence of God. For those who have received him as Lord and received that gift of salvation, we don't have to live distant or separated from the Lord. Amen? We can get closer. Every single day we can get closer because of the cleansing and the purification of the blood of Jesus. That phrase that said heart sprinkled, it was referring to the Christian, you know, practice of baptism. It was referring to being bodies being washed and saying that, guess what, we can draw near now in a way that was never available to somebody under the old covenant. And so the work of Jesus makes us able to draw near in full assurance of faith. When you have sin in your life, sin is a separator. Amen? Amen. Let's go back to the garden, and you'll remember that after Adam and Eve sinned, when the Lord came back to the garden and he called for Adam, where was Adam? He was hiding. Adam went and tucked his tail, and he's like, you know what? He was ashamed. He knew they had done wrong. He knew that they had sinned. And so guess what? He was separated from God because of his sin. But if you're walking in the freedom that Jesus has died to give you, church, I want to remind us that guess what? We don't have to be separated anymore. Amen. But listen, if there's some kind of sin in your life that you've been struggling with or you've been battling, and that very thing, it's what stops you from praying. It's that very thing that keeps you out of church a couple more services than you'd really like to be. You know, it's that very thing that'll stop you, church, from pressing in and drawing near, because the enemy wants there to be shame. The enemy wants there to be disgrace. The enemy wants there to be separation. His ultimate goal is to detach you and sever the relationship with God. His ultimate goal is to keep you from pursuing God. But can I tell you, church, just like that prodigal son, just like when he realized he was lost and in sin and he needed to come back to the Lord, the moment that he turned towards the Lord, the Bible says that the Father ran to him. And right now, if somebody in this room is dealing with something, you've been just covered in shame, I want to just bring a word of release over your life right now and say, if you would just turn towards Jesus, if you would just begin to draw near, the Father will come and rescue you. He will come and he will rescue you and he will wash you clean, amen? He will make you new. The Bible says that he will robe you and he will clothe you and he will put a ring on your finger and he will establish you as a son and a daughter of his once again, amen? That's who we have in Jesus. That's who we have in the Lord, church. We got to draw near, amen? We need to draw near. It was once said, therefore, the appeal to me is not a call to prepare myself. This is not what he's saying. Or to make a way for myself to God. It's to simply come, to draw near, to enter in. He says, this I do through my great high priest, Jesus. He says, but this I may do through him without faltering and without fear. The enemy wants us to be stuck in sin, but Jesus is saying, draw near to me. We can draw near, church, because the issues of separation have been settled when Jesus gave his life on the cross. Amen. The problem of access that every single one had has been settled through Jesus giving his life on the cross. The problem of a perfect high priest has been settled, and the problem of a moral and spiritual pollution in our world has been settled through Jesus. When the writer of Hebrews was mentioning this, he was saying, draw near. He was saying, come close. The encouragement to do so wouldn't have been given unless it was necessary. Unless it was necessary, unless it was vital to your relationship with God. In this time, these Christians, they were discouraged and they had a problem with drawing near to God. And that was their real issue. Their real issue was that they had lost their intimate relationship with Jesus and nothing else was going right. Can I tell you, the further you get away, the harder things are going to become. Amen. So the further you get away, the harder things might become, church. Because all of a sudden, you're gonna feel that weight that has pulled you away for so long. You're gonna feel that heaviness of sin or separation, and all of a sudden, it's gonna be harder to reach for the Lord. I wanna encourage you this morning, and I want you to understand this, church. For these Hebrew people, the real reason their relationship with God wasn't on track was because they didn't want to draw near based on what Jesus had done. You see, they thought that they had to do it on their own. They thought they had to work their way to him. And I want to remind you of what Jesus said when he said, it is finished. The work is finished. He said, if you would draw nigh unto me, that he would draw nigh unto you. He said that if you would call upon him, that he would answer you. Amen? And all we have to do sometimes, church, is say, devil, stop poisoning my mind and stop poisoning my ears and stop poisoning my spirit to believe that somehow this God that loves me so much could ever want to walk away from me. Because guess what, church? That's the biggest lie of Satan, and that is to get us to believe the things that God has never said concerning our life. Jesus loves you with an everlasting love, amen? The Bible says, and Jesus is wanting that relationship with you once again if you would just draw near. I know, church, that when you and I are in tough times, when we're in difficult times, we should remember that a lot of people have gone through worse, amen? I've gone through some stuff in my life, and you know what? It felt like the heaviest of heavy things. Sometimes those burdens just can feel so big, so they're magnified, if you will. But it was said this way, a lot of people have gone through worse times and had a better attitude. A lot of people have gone through worse things and had more joy than you and I might have now. We have to ask ourselves, what would the difference be? And that's this, is that they knew how to draw near. I want to encourage you, every single day, church, daily, every morning, the Lord gives you breath. You have the opportunity to draw just a little bit closer. Amen? Hebrews 10 and 23 says this. He said, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we professed. He says, for he who promised is faithful. You see, in light of what Jesus has done for you and I, church, we need to hold fast to the confession of our hope being in Jesus. How many of you have ever talked to a Christian? Raise your hand. We all should have talked to Christians. But how many of you have ever talked to a Christian and say, hey, brother, how are you doing? Oh, man. You doing all right? I guess. You look at me and say, man, dude, do you know Jesus? And I've been that way. I get it. I know what those days are like, right? You have those moments where you know, you just have forgotten the hope that you have professed and you've forgotten who he is. Amen? But if I keep Jesus in mind concerning every situation that I would face in this world, church, if somebody asked me, how am I doing? I say, man, I'm doing great because Jesus is still on the throne. I'm doing awesome because guess what? My God has a solution even if I haven't had the answer to the problem yet. I'll wake up with a whole new joy. I'll wake up with a whole new just fire in my spirit, because guess what? I know that he is alive and that he who promised is faithful. Amen. What were they saying? It meant that they were to stay the course without Jesus, with Jesus. What did that mean? It said in the scripture, our confession of hope, hold fast to that without wavering. What's wavering? It's like getting tossed back and forth, right? That meant to stay the course with the Lord, not turning to the right or to the left without veering off course. Because here's what happened. Discouragement, church, made them waver from their professed hope in Jesus. How many of you have ever been discouraged? Raise your hand. See, there was more hands than the encouraged side. Everybody's like, man, Pastor, I'm discouraged right now. Encourage me, Pastor. Say something good. Well, guess what? I've got something to say. When you get discouraged, church, it is very much the seeds of the enemy that he wants to poison your life with. Because seeds of discouragement have the ability, church, to nullify God's work in your life. Amen. It's incredible how shocking sometimes it can be, how the enemy will just flood the hearts and minds of believers with so much doubt, with so much disbelief in God's ability or God's plan for their life. It really blows my mind sometimes. It's like the scripture says, though, Matthew 13 and 22, in case you didn't believe the last thing I said. It says, the seed falling amongst the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. If your confession is more worry and more discouragement and more disbelief in a God who reigns and is still on the throne, who eternally defeated Satan, hell, and the grave, then my friend, we need to come back to Jesus. And if we have professed with our lips, if we have confessed with our mouths, if we have believed in who he says he is, then I have every reason to be encouraged this morning. Amen? And you would have every reason to be encouraged this morning. But I know that every single one of us has gotten wrapped up in the worries of this life and the worries of this world. And worries present themselves to us in different ways or at some point or time. But I want to remind you this, to not deviate from the hope that you professed in Jesus. Amen? Because he who promised is faithful. Every single time, church, that I have felt that pressing, where I have experienced situations in my life where, you know, you're in the 11th hour, right? Like, you're at that last moment, and you're going like, Jesus, I really need you to come through. You see, sometimes it's when the battle initiates and when it first begins that we're like, oh, we're super confident in the Lord, amen? But how many of you know that as the battle endures and as the battle goes longer and as that season lasts longer, that's where our faith is really tested. Amen? Anybody can jump off the start line fast. Amen? Anybody can run this race of faith, you know, and the gun fires and everybody takes off quickly. But what about when you've been in a season for months or years or decades even for some? You see, there was people in scripture that had gone through decade-long battles, church. Decade-long petitions and prayers before the Lord. And I want to remind you, church, that every single one of them, if they had received their promise, and those that ultimately did, they knew this very thing. They knew that no matter how long it seemed, or how dark it got, or how weary they got, or how tired they got, he who promised is faithful. He who promised would be faithful. And I want to remind you that we don't serve some kind of flippant God, church. We don't serve some kind of wishy-washy God that is here today and gone tomorrow. No, the Bible says that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that what God has promised concerning your life, that he said in his word, it's still alive, it's still effective, and it's still available for you and I today. Amen? We serve a faithful God who keeps his promises. Not like some Christians I met. don't look at them. I'm just kidding. Sometimes the first ones to raise their hands to volunteer in church are the last ones to be found when we need help. Oh, you want to go to the ends of the earth for the Lord, but you won't move a table to the other side of the church. You want the microphone to shout Jesus louder, but you won't pick up your own phone to forgive those who have offended you. See, I'm thankful that I serve a God who's faithful to his word. Amen. Revelation 19 says this, I saw heaven standing open, and there was before me a white horse whose rider is called, what? Faithful and true. With justice he judges and wages war. It says his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. And he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. And he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. See, while we may struggle sometimes with being the type of believers that sometimes have unfaithful moments, sometimes not keeping our own word, I'm thankful that the Lord, who is our shepherd, has promised that he is faithful. And guess what? Our unfaithfulness does not change how faithful he is. Amen? And in light of what Jesus did, let's read these next couple verses and then we'll wrap it up. Hebrews 10 and 24 says this, and so let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. He says, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Discouragement at this time for the Hebrew people made them avoid community at the very time that they needed it most. One thing I've noticed that happens sometimes in the body of Christ is when people get discouraged, they isolate themselves. When people get weary, they isolate themselves and they kind of separate themselves from the pack, if you will, and they go off on their own. And Jesus, though, church, he meets us in one another to stir up love and good works. This is why the body is so essential. This is why the gathering is so essential, because guess what? You may not find a word of encouragement all at your home crying into your pillow by yourself. And you need the body, amen? You need the brother and sister sitting next to you. You need the pastor. You need the Sunday school teacher. You need the usher. You need the greeter. You need the worship team. We need one another to be able to encourage us to continue on living for Jesus. Amen. There was a term for one another in the scripture, and in this context, it meant of speaking like a mutual activity, one in which believers would encourage one another, and not one where leaders direct the rest as to do what they are to do. In other words, this command that was given to encourage one another had to do with the body itself, and not necessarily the pastor or the leader who was over them at the time telling them to do that. They needed to do it on their own. Amen. How many of you, when you were a child, you know, ever heard from your parents, you know, something like this, that they would just be happy if you did it on your own? Meaning they didn't have to remind you over and over to take out the trash. To this day, I am a trash man. You know, it was so ingrained in me as a kid of taking out the trash, you know, I don't know how often, you know, it seemed like every day. But taking out the trash as a kid, that now it's just like, when I get old, I take out the trash. But there's one thing that I lack, and my wife would say amen to this. One thing I lack is sometimes I just forget to put the bag back in the trash can. And she said amen. Yeah, she's in the back going all the time. Like, I can see her all the time. But here's the deal, church. We are supposed to be, as believers, responsible for what the Word of God teaches us. Yes? If the pastor doesn't share it and you have a relationship with Jesus and you read the Word of God, are you still responsible to live it out? Yes. Amen. And here the scripture is saying, encourage one another. I want to say this and teach you something this morning. The next time that you don't see a brother or sister in Christ, the next time that that person that's usually to your right or to your left or maybe behind you or beside you or sits next to you in Sunday school, the next time that you don't see that person, church, I want you to go after them. Amen. I want you to chase them down. Now, listen, I'll also say this. If you don't know the person to the right, to the left, to the front, to the back, listen, you need to get to know them. Amen. You need to extend yourself and say, hey, let's go have coffee one of these days. Hey, here's my number. Let's text. Let's share scripture to each other. Let's pray for one another. Because guess what, church? This is an important part of the body. This is vital to life in the body as a community, as a body of believers. Because guess what? If you don't see those people next to you one day, it could be because the enemy is attacking them and they're discouraged and they're worried and they're getting beat down. And guess what? That's ultimately going to make the word of God unfruitful in their life. And the last thing that we want is more people falling away from God than drawing near to God. Amen? And so let it be the duty of the church, let it be the duty of the body of Christ to reach out to one another, to lift up their name and their family in prayer, and let God use you to be a blessing to them. It was once said that faith and hope can be practiced in solitude, in a hermit's cell, or on a desert island, but the exercise of love is possible only in a community. I don't know you love me unless I feel that embrace. Amen? We don't know that we really care for one another unless we're there for each other. Forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, forsaking fellowship is a sure way to give place to discouragement. The longer that you stay away, the more discouraged you will ultimately become, because discouragement will fester where God's people are not blessing one another and lifting up each other. And dare I say that somebody would walk in and out of this church week in and week out and not be acknowledged or greeted or prayed for or encouraged by any one of us. But let that be the duty of us, church, to go out of our way, to shake somebody's hand, to love them, to let them know that if they need prayer, that we are standing with them. Amen? How many of you would like a church like that? Amen? Praise God. And I'll say this. I think we do a pretty good job of that here in our church, but guess what? We can always do better. Amen? As believers, I want to just tell you that a little encouragement goes a long ways. Amen? I was talking with a brother before service about that. A little encouragement goes a long ways. What does that mean? How many of you know that a camel has humps on it on its back, right? You know that those humps are like, you know, coolers. You know, they're like water storage units. And a camel can drink just a tiny bit of water and store the rest so that he can continue on his journey out throughout the desert. And whenever he needs reserve, he just pulls from it. And encouragement kind of comes to us in a very similar way. That when you're encouraged by somebody, it could be a pastor, a friend, a brother, a sister in the church, when you receive that encouragement, I would encourage you to store it up in your heart. Store it up in your life, because there may be a day that you need to just reach for that encouragement and remind yourself of what God has said concerning your life. Amen. Remind yourself of what God has said concerning your calling. Remind yourself of really how valuable you are to the body. Amen. I want us to do this. I want us to consider how we could bless somebody today. I want you to look, just do this. I give you permission. Look all around you. Quickly. Some of y'all, don't make it weird. You know, I saw some of you like, your neck works, you know, turn it. Make eye contact, say hello, you know. But here's the thing. I want you to look around you and just consider how you could bless somebody today. Sometimes God will put a word in your heart for somebody. And listen, you're like, oh, man, I don't know if I should say it. I don't know if I should share it. I don't really know them. It might be weird. Listen, we're all weird here. Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah, we're all weird here. That's a good thing. But go out of your way to bless on somebody. Amen. He goes on to say, do not forsake the gathering, or do not give up meeting together. Can I remind somebody that there's power in the gathering and in agreement? Amen. Matthew 18 and 19, he says, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything that they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. He says, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. See, there is no more powerful place than where Jesus is present. Amen. There is no more a powerful place than when the presence of God is abiding in that place. And if we want to see the Lord move, we need to come together in agreement as the assembly of God's people once again. We don't need to agree like in cliques. We need to agree as the body. Amen. There's power when God's people come together in unity to pray, to worship, to learn, and to hunger after his word. And that's the kind of environment that the Lord has invited us to partake in. A place where demons bow to the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen? A place where the sick are healed. A place where lives are set free and transformed because of an encounter with Jesus. Do not forsake the opportunity to gather with your brothers and sisters in Jesus, because that meeting could be your moment of breakthrough. That meeting could be your moment of breakthrough. We could all admit that there's been times where we struggled to get ourselves into the house of God. Can I get an amen? Been times where the enemy was just had you in his sights, where he was just, you know, tormenting your mind, or where it was some kind of physical ailment that you were dealing with in your life that was just going on and on and on, and it was just attacking you, and all those kinds of things. In church, it's in that moment that we need to realize the reason for the resistance is because there is a breakthrough on the other side. Amen. The reason that the enemy has come to oppose you is because there's an outpour that God wants to do in your life, church. And listen, we've got to actually say no to the suggestions or the options that the enemy wants to put in our way and say, no, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to meet with my maker. I'm going to encourage a brother or sister. Even if I don't feel encouraged, I'm going to encourage somebody else because they could be hanging by a thread. I've had to tell myself that more times than you would ever know, church. More times to be like, you know what, man, I'm tired. It's Wednesday. Nobody comes sometimes. And there's times where I get discouraged myself and I'm like, no, hang on a second, God. You have an assignment on my life. And guess what? That assignment is more important than my own feelings. And what God wants to do in and through your life, church, is so important. It's so valuable. The body needs each other. Amen. Don't miss out on service because guess what? Jesus could rapture us from here one day. Amen. I'm ready for that one. I'm ready for that one. I'm ready for just, you know, the glory of God where we're just singing and just lost in the presence of God where all of a sudden it's like, shoo, gone, baby. Out of here. Whew, that's a good day. I'm looking forward to that one. Don't miss out on the Bible study because every time we open the scriptures, we encounter the living God. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm not going to get anything from the gathering. If you go into a gathering thinking you're not going to get anything, you're not operating by faith or expectancy. You're operating by your emotions. Amen. What does he say? Do not give up or neglect meeting together. Now notice, listen to this. Notice how he points out a select few when he said, as some are in the habit of doing. I'm so glad that you're here this morning, church, because there's a lot of us here today. But let this just be an encouragement that the reason you're here is because we don't want to be the people in that verse right there. We don't want to be the people in that verse where it's like, I'm going to just kick back and relax, and I'm just going to miss the next 4 Sundays because, you know, I don't know, I just feel like it. Or I'm going to miss the Bible study, or I'm going to miss what the ladies have going on, or what the youth have going on, or what the children have going on because, well, they'll be there next week. He points out that select few as some are in the habit of doing. Now, can I tell you, church, that wherever the word hits, it might hurt for a moment, but it'll save you from hell. Amen. Sometimes your pastor spits a little fire, but I'd rather put up with facing the truth now than receiving a punishment of being cast out of God's presence forever. Amen. And the same way the writer was telling these people that those that had that habit of missing out, being inconsistent, being people that took the gathering for granted, this was a word of warning and a word of encouragement at the same time. Why? The warning was because the day of his return was approaching. This was the warning. He's saying, You need to be faithful. You need to stick it out. You need not neglect what God is doing, because guess what? God is coming. But the encouragement side of it was a new habit could be formed. You see, they didn't have to just go on with the old habit of saying, hey, you know what? I'm not gonna go. I'm not gonna do this. I'm not gonna do that. I'd encourage you, church, in the middle of July to not let the remainder of 2025 pass you by. In other words, take advantage of every opportunity to gather under the name of Jesus. Why? Because the writer finishes by encouraging us, and he says this, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This was stressed to the Hebrew people because Christians were to live as if the dawning day and the return of the Lord was so near that its arrival was only just beyond the horizon. You see, I think sometimes we get a little comfortable just thinking, well, yeah, God's going to come whenever. And you know, we don't take that seriously enough. But if there was a visible timer and every one of us could see that clock counting down every single day at church, I guarantee we would change the way that we live our life, because we wouldn't want to miss that opportunity to be with the Lord forever. And let this be just a word of warning or a word of encouragement to you. At this same time, it was said this: each successive Christian generation is called upon to live as the generation of the end times. I'll say it one more time. Every generation is called upon to live as a generation of the end time. See, Pastor Duke, this was written 2,000 years ago. This was preached to a people 2,000 years ago, and he was saying, be ready. Be ready. Be ready. Why? 2,000 years ago, was there urgency to be ready? Because guess what? The Bible says that no man knows the day or the hour. We don't know when the day of God is going to return. We don't know when the Lord is going to rapture his people to be with him forever. So we have to live ready. What's the point? The end of the world may not come in our lifetime, but your lifetime could end in this world at any moment. You see, we have to consider that. We have to be those that are aware that there will be a day of judgment that's coming. For those who are Christians, guess what? We have a rapture to look forward to. But for those who do not serve the Lord, there is a day of judgment that is coming. The encouragement from the writer here was encouraging them to say, live for Jesus now. Live for him now, all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And I want to finish with this. If you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, there's no greater time than now. You could be in this room, you could be listening to the sound of my voice, and you could be just kind of coming and going and just thinking that you came to some religious gathering or some kind of just church thing because it's the right thing to do because your parents tell you to come to church. But that's not living for the Lord. That's not having relationship with him. Relationship with Jesus is receiving that gift of salvation, acknowledging what he did on the cross, the spilling of his blood, the giving of his life, the perfect sacrifice for your sins, to make you new, to wash you, to cleanse you, to purify you, to bring you into a place of crossing over from death to life in Jesus. Right there where you are, I want to ask the church to just bow your heads. Because if you've never had your sins washed away, if you've never been purified before the Lord, I want to tell you this morning, the Lord wants to bring you out of religion and into relationship with Jesus. And this moment is for you. This opportunity is for you here and now. I don't want you to hesitate, but if somebody has been listening to my voice this morning, I want to remind you that the Lord is the one who's speaking to you. You say, Pastor Duke, is the day of the Lord going to come? Yes, the day of the Lord is going to come. And there will be a moment, there will be a day in time where if your name has not yet been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then there will be an eternal separation and punishment from God. But the Bible teaches that if we would receive the free gift of Jesus, the gift of salvation, the gift of the work of Jesus where he had given his life on the cross, then you and I could know him, we could receive him, we could love him, and our name, our eternity in Jesus will be secure through his blood.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.